The sexual abuse of children can be a scary and challenging topic to discuss, especially for parents. But the fact is, one in four girls and one in six boys will be sexually abused by the time they are 18 years old. And startling statistics like that mean we must talk about it in order to make a difference. Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Diane Charles, Executive Director of SCAN of Northern Virginia, along with Giselle Pelaez from the Center for Alexandria's Children, a children's advocacy center. Hi, Giselle.
Hi, Diane. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Today, we'll discuss what parents can do to protect their children and work to prevent sexual abuse, how we can all recognize signs of sexual abuse in children, and the best ways to react if you suspect sexual abuse or a child actually tells you they've been sexually abused. Giselle, let's start out. Will you define for us, what is child sexual abuse?
Sure, absolutely. It's really, I think, important to have a very clear understanding of what that means. And so according to the National Clearinghouse on Child Abuse and Neglect, child sexual abuse includes the employment, use, persuasion, enticement, or coercion of any child to engage in or assist any other person to engage in any sexually explicit conduct. That includes rape, molestation, and prostitution of children. And it also includes things like using sexually explicit language to scare or threaten a child, or showing a child pornography, using email or the internet to communicate with children in sexually explicit ways, the whole gamut of internet use that ends up being exploitive.
Absolutely. And another critical fact to understand is that the sexual abuse of children happens everywhere.
That's right.
It crosses all ethnic, religious, economic, and regional boundaries. The offender is often an adult, but it can be another, often older, child as well.
You're absolutely right, Diane. It happens everywhere. And the fact of the matter is, and one of the things that I think most parents don't know, is that a vast majority of people who offend against children actually know the child and know the family and know them very well and have built up a pretty strong level of trust in order to be able to get into the life of that child. And that's why it's so critical that parents and other caregivers know about signs of abuse and how to prevent it.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the key reasons why we're talking about it today. So let's get into it. How can we prevent child sexual abuse, Giselle?
Let's get into it. The first step is to working to protect your children from sexual abuse is being really proactive about opening the lines of communication with your kids. Talk to your children about sexual abuse in ways that are age appropriate, in ways that you're very, very comfortable with. Teach them about their bodies, the names for all the different parts of their bodies, how to respect them, and let them know that certain things are against the rules. It's against the rules for adults to act in sexual ways or to touch special parts of their bodies or private parts of their bodies. Tell them that if someone's making them feel anxious, sad, angry, or confused, that they can and they should talk to you about it and you'll listen.
Right. And something to keep in mind is that children often feel more comfortable telling someone other than a parent, often because the abuser, as you said, is a trusted friend or a family member. So also be sure your children are aware of the professional adults in their lives, such as guidance counselors or school social workers or pediatricians to whom they could speak to if something is bothering them.
You got it. One of the most effective ways to prevent sexual abuse is really by carefully considering the safety of any activity where your child's going to be alone with another adult.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual abuse happens when there's one adult and one child.
Mm-hmm.
So think about things like when your child is spending time alone with a babysitter, a sports practice with a coach, or a one-on-one church activity, music lessons. These one adult, one child events are where the majority of sexual abuse can occur.
Remember, most abusers try to form trusting relationships with children and parents first. So even someone you would never suspect could be an abuser, 93% of abusers are trusted family members, friends, or acquaintances.
That's right. If you do allow your child time alone with an adult, drop in unexpectedly. When you're scheduling an event with another adult, make sure that you know where they're going to be, if they're going to be spending time in public places, and talk to your child about it when they come back.
Absolutely. And consider limiting these one-on-one experiences. And in that case, you can dramatically reduce the risk for sexual abuse.
It's so easy, isn't
it? Yeah. If your child attends a summer camp, a daycare, church school, or other program where he or she could be alone with adults at any time, be sure to ask about and insist on screenings such as criminal background checks, interviews, and professional references for adults who will be serving your children.
That's right, Diane. But remember that just because an adult has passed a background check doesn't mean that sexual abuse is not a possibility. Right. You should still take precautions when it comes to leaving your child alone with another adult.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And think about this. Another creative prevention tip is to openly discuss with the adults in your child's life that you've talked to them about sexual abuse, that your child is very open with you, and that your child is well aware of the need for privacy and boundaries, and knows that they have the right to stop any behavior that makes them sad, afraid, uncomfortable, or angry.
I think it's a really effective way of putting potential perpetrators in check. Sort of,
absolutely. You're taking a possible prevention step just by doing that. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Parenting Today, and I'm Diane Charles with SCAN of Northern Virginia, and with me today is Giselle Pelaez from the Center for Alexandria's Children, and we are talking about preventing sexual abuse of children. We've talked a little bit about prevention. How can someone recognize child sexual abuse, Giselle?
Sure. You know, the easiest signs, the easiest physical signs of sexual abuse that a parent may see are injury to the genital area, bleeding, redness, rashes, urinary tract infections, all those kinds of things where you would want to take your child to the pediatrician. Or even more troubling, but something that you may see, is if your child's having problems walking, if your child's having problems sitting, if they seem to be experiencing pain.
Right.
Anywhere in their genital area. If a child does have these signs and you suspect they've been caused by abuse, take them to the doctor immediately.
Right. The more common physical signs are actually symptoms associated with anxiety and trauma, such as headaches, stomach aches, insomnia, nightmares, and bedwetting.
And these are way more common than the physical signs that you would see. And they vary greatly. You're absolutely right, Diane. Some kids may become depressed. They may become withdrawn. They may not be the same child that you knew maybe a week ago, maybe a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Others act out. They can regress developmentally. They might lose abilities that they once had, like potty training, or some language skills.
Right. And then they can go the other direction. Some become perfectionists, while others begin to do poorly in school or in activities such as sports.
That's right. Every child's different, and every child is going to have a unique experience and a unique response to traumatic incidents that may happen to them. So keep in mind that any drastic behavior changes can be a sign that something's bothering your child, whether it be sexual abuse, bullying, or anything that may be going on in their life. But the important thing is that chances are these are a cry for help.
Absolutely.
And they should be addressed. One of the most obvious signs of sexual abuse can be sudden sexual behaviors in a child, like if they start using sexual language that you've never heard them use before, if they suddenly become aware, have sexual knowledge that's way beyond what developmentally is appropriate for them. If they have a knowledge of adult sexual behavior, those kinds of things are a very obvious sign that something may have happened to your child.
Yeah. And also be aware if your child suddenly exhibits a fear of certain places, activities, or especially certain people. Ask them about their feelings, listen to their concerns, and talk openly about it.
Yeah. Remember that some children actually show no signs of abuse, which is why it's really critical for us as the adults, as the parents, as the grown-ups and the caregivers to pay really close attention, to be very alert about where our children are, who they're with, and how they behave after each of these activities.
So How should we as parents or, you know, regular citizens react to child sexual abuse?
First, trust your instincts. If you even have a small suspicion of sex abuse, take action. If it's somebody else's child, make a report. You only need to be suspicious to make a report. You don't need to prove it.
Right. Second, believe the child if they open up to you. Young children very rarely, and I know Giselle, who's worked with this issue for years, can affirm this, very rarely make up stories about sexual abuse. And they often disclose it accidentally that first time.
That's right, Diana. It's really important. It's not your responsibility to investigate. You should be focusing on the safety of the child.
So if a child tells you about abuse, remain calm. Mm-hmm. A child needs a responsible, composed adult who is a source of comfort. The children want and need someone who's willing to listen without being overly emotional or negative. And I know as a parent, that's hard.
Yeah, well, think about how difficult and scary it would be for a child to talk about sexual abuse, especially when you consider that they probably have very little knowledge or understanding about that activity other than fear, and that their abuser is more likely than not a friend or a close family member, and there's a lot at stake.
Absolutely. Keep in mind that your response can have a huge impact on their future willingness to trust others and talk more about the abuse.
You're really setting the stage for that child and how comfortable they're going to feel in the future, right, talking about what happened to them. When children make a disclosure of sexual abuse, there is a lot that is at stake. They may fear what will happen as a result of their disclosure, especially if they feel like the abuse is their own fault or if the perpetrator is a family member or a friend. I think one of the important things to keep in mind is you can reassure that child that they've done the right thing by telling you.
Right. Absolutely. And another thing is, don't make promises you can't keep. Instead, focus on saying things like, what happened to you is not your fault. We're going to work on a plan and try to help make sure you're safe. Or even, you know, making sure you let them know that they did the right thing by telling you.
Those are great statements to make to children who come out, yeah, and disclose to you. Mm-hmm. If it's your own child, sit down and talk with them when the suspected abuser's not there.
Of course.
Keep in mind, yeah, sexual abusers often manipulate and threaten their victims and make them feel guilty and confuse them about what's right and wrong. Victims feel uncertain about what the right thing to do really is.
Remember, the most important thing to remember is that it's our responsibility as adults to protect children from sexual abuse. No matter how many times a child has been told to talk to someone if something bad happens, they still might be too frightened, embarrassed, or angry to do so on their own.
As long as you continue to be aware of the children in your life, as well as the adults with whom they interact with on a regular basis, you're creating a safe space for that child to disclose to you if something's happened. Be open to discussing things that make you feel uncomfortable. And consider how that child is feeling. And consider their safety and feelings when you make decisions about the people that they spend time with.
You know, thinking about child abuse, not to mention talking about it, might seem like it's just too difficult. But as parents, we can work to prevent child sexual abuse and equip our kids with the opportunities to be heard and the safety they deserve.
That's right. Remember, we need to pause for our children. You know, no matter how fast the world might be moving around us, it's critical that we pay attention and listen to the kids in our lives.
Take time out of your busy schedule to focus on your children and know that it's okay to ask for help. For more information about preventing child sexual abuse and other parenting challenges, visit the SCAN website at www.scanva.org.
And if you'd like more information about how children's advocacy centers respond to identified victims of child sexual abuse, please feel free to visit our website at www.centerforalexandriaschildren.org. There are children's advocacy centers across the country. And if you need a list of children's advocacy centers in your area, you can visit www.nationalchildrensalliance.org.
Thank you to Giselle Pelaez from the Center for Alexandria's Children. I'm Diane Charles from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and this has been Parenting Today.